Well, it is just over 1 week until Christmas Day. I don't think that comes as a shock to anyone here, but it's helpful for a reminder because it means you have about 7 days left to finish your Christmas shopping. Now, I guess as we've got a number of people here today, there will be a whole host of different types of people. Some of you will be the ultra-organized types. Those are the people who worked out who they needed to buy for and what they needed to get back in the summer, when it was nice and warm, when snow was not a possibility, and they had all the Christmas shopping done by the end of October. And in case you don't know who those people are, if you take a look round, they're the ones who are looking very smug. No crowds for them, no crushes in Oxford Street or Regent Street, they're organised. There are, of course, other types on the other end of the spectrum. They are the last-minute shoppers. They're the people who proudly tell other people, well, I do all my Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. Now, they look very relaxed up until Christmas Eve, and then they realize why every year they say they're never going to do it again. As they are crushed in the department stores and the shops in London and elsewhere, and as they try desperately to think about what on earth they're going to get for that final present. Now, you may be one of those types. I guess most of us are somewhere in between, aren't we? Scrambling to finish the shopping and trying as much as we're able to buy just the perfect gift for those we are buying for. Now, that isn't easy, is it? So some people have tried to apply science and mathematics to the whole question of Christmas shopping. And a team from Essex University have joined up with the Countdown presenter, Rachel Riley, obviously, to come up with a formula for the perfect Christmas present. Okay, so if you're not the ultra-organized type, if you've still got Christmas shopping to do, here I'm going to show you what the formula for the perfect Christmas present is. You ready? Here it is. There it is. Something so complicated, it is basically useless in helping us to find the perfect gift. It's lovely, isn't it? But you know what? I don't think finding the perfect gift needs to be nearly that complicated. I think really there are three things to getting a gift right. And those are these three. That is a gift given in love, it's a gift that is needed, and it's a gift that will last. And those three things sum up the perfect Christmas gift, really because they sum up the gift that God gives to us at Christmas. And it's described for us in a single important verse of the Bible. It was there in our final reading. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll put it up on the screen. Let me remind you of it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I don't know if that's a part of the Bible that you're familiar with. Many people are, but it's perhaps not a verse that we usually associate with Christmas. But it's a great verse for Christmas, because here is the heart of the Christmas story, the gift that God gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You see, the perfect Christmas gift is the gift of Jesus Christ. Born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas, God himself come to us in human form. And it is the perfect gift for those three reasons. First of all, because it is a gift given in love. Now, I hope as we think about our own Christmas shopping, our own gift giving, that most of our Christmas gifts are gifts given in love. But, on the other hand, if you've ever taken part in a workplace Secret Santa, you might have had the experience of buying a gift for someone you barely know, or at worst, someone you actively dislike. We've got our staff Secret Santa tomorrow, so none of this applies to that, okay? But it can happen, can't it? There can be someone that you just don't get on in the office, and you've got to buy a gift for them. Well, never fear, the internet comes to your rescue. Because a quick search for gifts for people you hate comes up with a number of good options. Please don't look at my browsing history. It'll give very bad ideas about what I think about people. Here's some of the ideas that I've come up with. Particularly passive-aggressive gifts include diet books, cleaning supplies, toiletries that you picked up for free at your last hotel stay, and if you're particularly feeling mean to one person, deodorant. Now, they're pretty dreadful gifts to give and pretty dreadful gifts to receive. But by contrast, God's gift of Jesus for us is given in love. You see, John begins this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And I guess as we think about God's gift to us, we might expect nothing less. It fits in, perhaps, with our particular image of God. Maybe we have that picture of God as a sort of old man sitting on a cloud, a kind of heavenly Santa Claus. And surely if he gives gifts, there'll be gifts given in love. But actually, the setting of the whole of this book that John writes gives a very different picture of this verse. You see, as John writes his account of Jesus' life, he uses the word world in a very specific way. He doesn't just talk about the world we live in, the physical geography of this world. He uses it, the word world, to mean the world opposed to God. And it's the world that you and I live in every day. It's a world that forgets about God, pushes him to the side, turns his back on him. And it's the same tendency that lives in our hearts and our lives too. To say to God, "I'm not really interested. I don't really care." Now, if someone deliberately ignored us, or frankly opposed us, well, we wouldn't even send them a Christmas card, would we? Let alone buy them a Christmas gift. But here's why this verse is so surprising. Because it tells us, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the people who ignored him. God so loved the people who oppose him and reject him and turn their backs on him. God so loved you and me that he gives the gift of his Son. It's a gift given in love. It's also a gift that is needed. Now again, I'm sure we have all received gifts at some time or another that we simply don't need. Maybe we're particularly difficult people to buy for, or maybe it's just that Great Aunt Edna just doesn't have a clue what we like. But she keeps sending us presents we don't need. And those presents that you see under the Christmas tree perhaps, and you think, "What on earth is that?" And as you open it, your question comes more, "What on earth were they thinking?" Yeah, those clothes that are not just a little bit too big, but four sizes too big. I mean, how much do you think my family think I'm going to eat over Christmas that this is going to be a suitable size of clothing? The bicycle repair kit for someone who simply doesn't even own a bike. And I was out shopping the other day and found a shop that genuinely was selling chocolate teapots. I mean, that's the epitome of the thing that is useless, isn't it? A chocolate teapot. And in fact, if we're honest, aren't we? Most of the gifts that we find in shops these days are things that we don't really need, wouldn't really use, and to be honest, probably wouldn't choose ourselves. But my point to you today is that the gift of Jesus Christ at Christmas is a gift we all need. But I guess for many of us, it won't seem that way. It will seem this message of Christmas, the stuff that we're singing about in carols, might just seem just as useless as a chocolate teapot. Oh, it's fun while it lasts on Christmas Day, but frankly, it's useless and unnecessary. Why does this message of a baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 or more years ago contain anything that I might possibly want or need? Well, John gives us the answer once again in this verse. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. See, the reason we need this gift is because there's a danger of perishing. Ignoring, rejecting the God who made us is a dangerous and foolish thing to do. It means we turn away deliberately from the source of life and light, and we are in danger. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to retain a bit of surprise on Christmas Day morning. As a child, I used to go hunting for the Christmas presents, as you usually do, and when they were under the Christmas tree, poke and prod them. But these days, I like to be surprised on Christmas Day morning. I like to unwrap the presents and see what it is without trying to guess beforehand. Now, if I pick up the present that my wife Louise has brought me from under the tree and open it up, and I find that what she has bought me is a life jacket, I will probably be very puzzled. And rather disappointed, if I'm honest. It wasn't on my list. It wasn't the hints that I was subtly giving her. Why on earth has she bought me this? After all, I don't sail. I don't surf. I don't even kayak. I live in London. Why on earth would I need a life jacket as a gift? Well, that might be true on Christmas Day morning around the tree, but if I was out at sea, if I was overboard and on the edge of drowning in the middle of the ocean, a life jacket would be the best gift I could possibly have. If you're drowning and a ship comes by and somebody throws out some Christmas pudding, not much good. Some socks, however much they were lovingly chosen, not much help. But a life jacket, well, that would be the best thing ever. What seems at one point to be a foolish and useless present would be the difference between life and perishing. You see, the gift of Jesus at Christmas is a life jacket to those who are perishing. Because the baby in the manger did not stay small and cute and cuddly. He became a man who went to the cross to die, and in dying took the punishment that was rightly ours for turning our backs on God. He bore the consequence of our actions and perished so that we don't have to. He is the gift we need. And then finally, God's gift at Christmas is a gift that will last. It's amazing, isn't it, how quickly Christmas can come and go. It surprises you suddenly as you've been getting on with life, and then the decorations go up and you realize you've got to go Christmas shopping, and then before you know it, it's here, 1 week away. And despite all the build-up, it catches you by surprise, and the tree has dropped its needles, you've run out of mince pies, and normality creeps in once again. Well, if you want to prolong your Christmas as long as possible, and some people might not want to, but if you do, the place to go is the Philippines. Because apparently they have the longest celebration of Christmas in the world. Their celebrations, the official build-up, begins at the start of September. In fact, some people, the Christmas decorations go on sale in August. And the actual celebration of Christmas carries on to Epiphany in something like the 6th of January, or even further into January. Now, I don't know about you, but that might seem a bit more Christmas than you can handle. 4.5 months is a bit beyond us, I think, probably, to celebrate Christmas. But we know that things don't last, do they? They don't last as they should. The celebrations and excitement are gone too quickly. The kids' toys are broken by Boxing Day. Even the leftover turkey, which seems inexhaustible on Christmas Day, finally does run out. But not so with God's Christmas gift. Let's look at that verse one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the gift of Jesus Christ at Christmas is a gift that brings forgiveness and rescue, freedom and reconciliation. It is the answer to our loneliness and our longing. And God's Christmas gift brings life, and life that will last. You see, before too long, the shop windows will return to their usual displays. The tinsel and the trees and the trimmings will be taken down. The lights along Regent Street and Oxford Street will be gone. Everything will seemingly turn back to normality. There wouldn't be a sign that Christmas had even been here. I wonder, would that be the case for you? In your heart and in your life, will Christmas make a difference? Will you know the light and life that Jesus Christ brings this Christmas time, and not just for Christmas, but forever? Or will you let Christmas come and go without making a mark? And come the end of January, it will be no different in your life of whether Christmas has been or not. Don't let Christmas come and go this year without letting Christmas make a mark and make a difference in your life. See and grasp the perfect gift that God offers of His Son, Jesus Christ. A gift that is given to you in love. A gift that we so desperately need. And a gift that makes a lasting difference to us, not just in the glow of Christmas, but forevermore.